In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, rescue me and deliver me. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of those who are evil and cruel. For you have been my hope, Sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From my birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. I have become a sign to many. You are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. Do not cast me away when I am old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. For my enemies speak against me. Those who wait to kill me conspire together. They say, God has forsaken him. Pursue him and seize him, for no one will rescue him. Do not be far from me, my God. Come quickly, God, to help me. May my accusers perish in shame. May those who want to harm me be covered with scorn and disgrace. As for me, I shall always have hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous deeds, of your saving acts all day long, though I know not how to relate them all. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, Sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteous deeds, yours alone. Since my youth, God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. Your righteousness, God, reaches to the heavens. You who have done great things, who is like you, God? Though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again. From the depths of the earth you will again bring me up. You will increase my honor and comfort me once more. I will praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, my God. I will sing praise to you with the lyre, Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you, I whom you have delivered. My tongue will tell of your righteous acts all day long, for those who wanted to harm me have been put to shame and confusion.
God's word is good. Let's pray now for God to help us as we learn from his word together. Heavenly Father, thank you that all of the Bible is God-breathed and points to Jesus. I pray for your Holy Spirit to continue to be working powerfully in us this morning. I pray that he'll convict us of our continual need for Jesus throughout our lives. We pray for soft hearts this morning to hear your word. And we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 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 Let me start by sharing with you a little story. Something that happened to me a few months ago. I and one of my sons were visiting a local sixth form. It's that time of year where you go around and see if they're a good fit. And as we arrived, I spotted somebody I recognised standing at the gate welcoming people. He was a parent of a child that I taught back at my old school. And I knew he was on the senior management of this particular school. So I went up and shook his hand, grinning inanely, thinking that he'd recognize me and we could have a little bit of a chat about the old times. But rather disconcertingly, as I stood there shaking his hand, there wasn't even a flicker of recognition. But suddenly, he took a step back, literally true story, put his hands on his head, and he just said, "My goodness, I really didn't recognize you. I'm so sorry. I didn't recognize you. I'm afraid you've really, really aged." Yeah. So I'm becoming more and more conscious of my aging nowadays. And not just because of this wonderful gentleman. I remember the day I turned 40. It was at my old primary school, and my classroom was up the stairs. I remember it was significantly harder to get up those stairs, age 40. My hair follicles, as my class remind me, seem to have given up all hope and have stopped producing. The Sawston Fun Run. The Sawston Fun Run is just getting a little bit scarier every year. I don't know if you feel that. I only do the kids' race. I've started looking at my phone a bit more like this. In fact, we were playing Cluedo last night. Is that Rev Green or is that Professor Plum? Anyway, the person who wrote Psalm 71 is certainly conscious of his aging. We don't know who he is. The Bible doesn't tell us. There's no title to this psalm if you have a little look down. But we do know he's getting older. So have a look down with me at verse 9. It says, "Do not cast me away when I'm old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone." The psalmist knows that he's aging and he's not quite physically the man he used to be. And this is a bit of a problem, because if we carry on reading, have a little look down at 10 to 11. It says, "For my enemies speak against me. Those who wait to kill me conspire together. They say, 'God has forsaken him. Pursue him and seize him, for no one will rescue him.'" So this aging psalmist has enemies who are out to kill him, and he's deeply aware of his failing strength as he gets older. So what's his response? Well, what would your response be? I know my one would be probably to run away, stick my head in the sand, or worst of all, try to trust in my own abilities and my own strength. But what's this psalmist's response? So let's have a closer look at Psalm 71, and from it I hope we'll see clearly our Jesus and our continual need for him. So a few things to note before we begin. It doesn't have the clearest of structures. Some psalms are beautifully laid out, perfect symmetry, each starting with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet. This psalm isn't like this. He seems to cycle around his themes a number of times, repeating himself. And I don't think that's just because of old age. Another thing to note, you might want to look back, it borrows a lot from other psalms as well. So if you flick back to Psalm 31, if you want to, you don't have to, you'll see that the first three verses are pretty much word for word. It borrows a lot from Psalm 22, that wonderful psalm. So yes, this psalm is muddly in structure. And yes, it borrows a lot from many other different psalms, but the real sense you get as you read it is of a faithful, aging believer who knows his Bible and who's looking back over the whole of his life and whose hope is always in God. We could have that slide up if you want to. It's just one slide and we'll leave it up there. Have a look down with me at verses 4 to 5. In fact, let's read from the beginning. Let's get a run-up 4 and 5. It says, "In you, Lord, I've taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, rescue me and deliver me. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. Give them command to save me, for you're my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of those who are evil and cruel. For," and I love that word in Psalms, "for you have been my hope, sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From my birth I have relied on you. You've brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. So the psalmist, instead of feeling hopeless in his situation, looks back there and says, God, you've been my hope. You've been my confidence since I was young. In fact, since I was born, you took me out of my mother's womb. I relied on you then, and I'm relying on you now as I age and in my difficulties and when my strength fails. And do you know what? He doesn't just look back. He looks forward and hopes in God for the future. Let's jump on and have a little look at verses 20 to 21. It says, though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again. From the depths of the earth, you will bring me up again, and you will increase my honor and comfort me once more. Notice that word, will. I call him my mate, Will, at school. Will is a modal verb that indicates certainty. There you go, there's a bit of grammar for you, sorry, it's boring. But you will, what wonderful certainty and hope in God's future grace. His strength may be failing, but his hope is in a God whose strength never fails. So this aging believer, in troubles, faced with evil and cruel enemies, looks backwards and forwards to God's faithfulness in his whole life and continues to put his hope in him all day long, all life long. Now, I said this doesn't have much of a structure, but if you sort of count six verses, they've sort of been broken up on, and then six verses back, usually in a psalm get a really helpful verse. It often puts the really helpful verse in the middle. And have a little look down with it. It says, verse 14, as for me, I shall always have hope. Now, if that was true for the Old Testament believer before Jesus, how much more true is it for us who are hoping in Christ now? So when the Old Testament believer, the psalmist, looked back and saw God saving his people out of Egypt, we can look back and see God saving us through Christ. The hope of this psalmist in verses 20 to 21 is fulfilled in Christ. Just remember what he said, 20 to 21. He said, though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again. From the depths of the earth, you will bring me up again. You will increase my honor and comfort me once more. Well, Jesus was restored to life again. He was brought up from the depths of the earth, and he is now reigning in honor in heaven. And if we hope in him, all our sins are paid for, and his perfect life is ours. What a hope. What a secure foundation that is. And if our hope is in Christ, he has promised us that we too, looking forward at the final resurrection when Jesus returns, we too will be restored to life again. We too will be brought up from the depths of the earth. We too will reign with Christ in honor in heaven. Can you see, just like the aging believer, we can look backwards and we can look forwards to God's faithfulness in our whole life with our hope always in Jesus. And that's why we can say with the psalmist in verse 14, as for me, I shall always have hope. And that's why I think when I look at older Christians, I don't know about you, just like this psalmist, I often feel a real sense of beauty when I look at older Christians. I love it when we sang Rock Solid God by Carolyn Ash. I see them hoping more and more in Christ and less in themselves and in their own strength. They have a certain gentleness and peace about them, a real sense that Christ can hold them fast into eternity. Have you ever felt that when you've seen an older Christian? A real sense of beauty. Seeing them hope in Jesus. They are weak, but he is very strong. I love being around older Christians who have a real love for Jesus. It's really faith-affirming to see them still walking with the Lord and running that race. But on the other hand, when I look at those who are reaching the end of their life, getting older, and have no faith in Jesus, my overriding emotion is one of pity. Do you feel that? I often see them, and I have people I know and love, either vainly trusting in the things that once gave them hope, or becoming utterly hopeless and bleakly fearing death. You see, age has a way of showing you more and more that the things that you once hoped in will not save you. They will not bring you from death to life, will they? So what are you hoping in? What are you truly hoping in as you've come here this morning? Is your hope in your health? It will fail you. Is your hope in your body image and your looks? They will fail you. Is your hope in your achievements? They will fail you. Is your hope in financial security? Is your hope in the pleasures of life? They will all fail you. I could go on and on, but the only thing that you can truly put your hope in this life and in the next is God and who he is in Jesus Christ, because he will not fail you. So that's why when I read this psalm, the overwhelming sense I get is a sense of beauty. The beauty of an aging believer whose hope is always in God. You'll see that always and forever word come up again and again and again and again and again. So a beauty of an aging believer whose hope is always in God, knowing that he can't save himself, but his righteous God can. But what does this hope look like in this believer's life? Well, we could name many things, but I'm going to just pick on one now. Carry on reading verse 14 with me in the middle. It says, "As for me, I shall always have hope. I will praise you more and more." So how does this hope in God show itself in this believer's life? Well, just as he's always hoping, he's always praising. This life of hope is a life of praise. It runs through the entire psalm. So just have a little look. Let's look at, I'll jump through it. Let's have a look at verse 6. It says, at the end, "I will ever praise you." Verse 8, "My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long." Verse 22 and 23, "I will praise you with a harp for your faithfulness, my God. I will sing praise to you with a lyre, Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you. I am whom you have delivered." So this believer is always praising God. Even when life is horrid and his strength is failing, when people want to kill him, he's always praising God. And I love the bit, Ed, in Psalm 66 that we looked at, when it said, "I cried out to him with my mouth, and praise was on my tongue." We can praise God in tough times. Praising God is what we were designed to do. The psalm says it's good and right to praise God. Why? And I think here's the key thing. Because praise says, "You are great, God. I am weak. My hope is in you. My confidence is in you, and it's not in myself." But just read on. Notice the praise that we see in here is intertwined. It's mingled up with proclamation. The psalmist wants to praise God for what he does and tell everybody about it. That's what proclamation means. Praise God, but then tell everybody else about the hope that he has. So just look down with me at verses 15 through to 19. My mouth will tell of your righteous deeds, of your saving acts all day long, though I not know how to relate them all. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, Sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteous deeds, yours alone. Since my youth, see him looking back again, God, you've taught me, and to this day, right now, I declare your marvelous deeds. Even looking into the future, when I'm old and grey, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. Your righteousness, God, reaches to the heavens. You who have done great things, who is like you, God? So the psalmist wants to tell, proclaim, declare, you'll see all those words again and again and again and again, to everyone what God has done. His righteous deeds, his saving acts, his mighty acts, his marvelous deeds. He wants to share this wonderful hope. Now, if you truly hope and believe in something, you want to share it, don't you? You don't want to keep quiet about it. Liz, you'll probably know, you know, if I have a song that I have great hope in, I don't shut up about it, do I? So this psalmist's hope is in God. And it's so deep that he says, look down in verse 18. Even when I'm old and grey, please don't give up on me, God, because I want to tell the whole generation, next generation about you. Now, please don't get me wrong. I don't want you to go away when, somebody was going to ask you, what's the sermon about? Well, Addy told us to praise and proclaim more. There you go, done. Now, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all, because praising and proclaiming doesn't get you right with God. It's a sign that we're hoping in God, isn't it? It doesn't get us right with God. Only hoping in Jesus can do that. So if you're like me and you're thinking, I long to praise God more and more, I long to tell others more and more about the wonderful things that Jesus has done for me, but I know that I don't, please take heart. Because we have one who perfectly praised his Father like he ought. We have a person who perfectly proclaimed, the kingdom is near, repent and believe the good news. And his name is Jesus. So as we hear this Old Testament psalmist sing, please hear the voice of Jesus, who perfectly hoped in his Father, but who became a sign to many. Have a look in verse 7. He died on the cross. He was forsaken by God. Verse 11. He was restored again from the depths of the earth. Verse 20. His honor has been increased more and more. Verse 21. He now sits with his Father in heaven. So please, we can look back and praise Jesus for what he's done in our lives, and we can look forward and praise him for what he's going to do in our lives, and we can put our hope in him right now, today. So just like the psalmist, let's look back, let's look forward, and always hope in Jesus. And Jesus is present with us now, isn't he, by his Spirit. The book of Hebrews says he sings with us now in the congregation. He has done great things. He will do great things. All God's promises are fulfilled in him and will be fulfilled in him. We are safe in him. So let's put our hope in God through Jesus Christ today. And then in that freedom that he gives, pour out our praises to you. In fact, let's end by pouring out our praises to God through Jesus in prayer right now. Jesus, we praise you for what you've done in our lives, and we praise you for what you will do in our lives. And we pray for your Holy Spirit to be working in us now so that we can cry out with the psalmist, "As for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more." And we pray this in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. I pray that God has been speaking to us through my failing words. And as is our practice, if there are any encouragements that you've had or things that have jumped out to you in Psalm 71. Now, that's the Holy Spirit at work, isn't it? When something jumps out at you and prompts you and you go, "Oh my goodness, I didn't see that before." That's the Holy Spirit at work. So if there's any encouragements from this passage or from over the last few weeks or any questions, do say.
Hi, Andy. I just wanted to thank you for today's message. It reminded me of how even in just feeling sort of overwhelmed or getting distracted and just not happy with current situation I'm in, for instance, that despite that, we can go, "God, you know that I'm in that, and thank you, Lord, for, I don't know, just something that's right in front of me. You know, I might not be happy about something, but actually, if you sort of like flip it around and go, well, actually, I can be thankful of that. Okay, that might not be going how I'd like it to, but thank you, Lord, for that, and that this will not go on forever. That, you know, this is just a season, and that we can have that hope because we have that hope in Him." Mm. And that reminded me today. So thank you.
Yeah, I think the thing that probably spoke to me, God's been speaking to me through all of this, but then I was just, you know, really struck, and thank you, Joe, because I hadn't heard of the, you know, people who are not hoping in. I thought, thank you, God, you know, people who aren't hoping in Jesus, they're like that firework who's going to go, they're trusting themselves, and then, but yet, trust happening our hope in Jesus, like this the psalmist put his hope in God, is like that smile. That's the picture that will stick with me, I think.
Thanks, Ant. I suppose the thing that jumped out at me was just the image of the rock that we spoke about as well as being in this psalm. It's such a versatile, good image. Rocks are good for standing on, walking around. When it's shaky, hold on to it. You can sing off the top of it. You can do lots with rocks.
Yeah,
it's just a brilliant image that the Lord gives.
I think it's the image with, so the whole psalm is bringing out, I'm hoping in you, God, throughout this whole of my life. And when he cries out in prayer, that's a sign of hope and dependence. When he cries out in praise, that's a sign of hope and dependence. When he says, "I want to tell everybody else about Jesus," that's a sign of hope and dependence, yeah. It's a rock of righteousness, yeah.
It's just lovely that the Psalms are really concrete, and actually God's word is really concrete, that sort of big sense of existential concern about my life can be distilled into that little visual aid that really gets to me, but my hair's going grey. And I'm carrying around a visual aid that reminds me that I am weak and God is great. Mm. And that reminds me that Jesus said that even the hairs on my head are all numbered, that because the Father's love is so deep. Yeah. And so what can feel like a reminder of hopelessness actually is a reminder of hope in God.
Yep. And he's a God of promises, isn't he? And I love the fact that this aging psalmist goes and he knows his God's word, and he brings back to mind the other psalms that he knows, the other bits of God's scripture. Let's just pray as we finish then. Heavenly Father, thank you for this aging psalmist's hope in you. Always hoping in you. I pray that as New Testament believers, we would always hope in what Jesus has done and what he's going to do, and all God's promises are yes in Jesus. Thank you for your spirit. Spirit of Christ, I pray that he'd now work in the hearts of us all. And if our hope is not yet in you, Jesus, I pray that they would turn to you. I pray that if we've been distracted and our hope is in other things, I pray that we'd have our hope firmly set on you and you alone. And we'd pray that in your name. Amen.